Hey everyone, and welcome to this deep dive where we'll be taking a look at idioms, those slippery and sometimes hilarious phrases we use all the time.
Yeah.
And to help us unpack all this, we'll be drawing from excerpts from Dr. George Payton's course on Bible translation.
It's a great course.
It is fascinating stuff. And have you ever really stopped to think about how many everyday sayings we use that, like, if you took them literally, they would make absolutely no sense?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny when you actually stop and think about it.
It is. So to kick things off, what makes these idioms so tricky to translate?
Well, Payton points out that idioms are what he calls figurative and non-compositional, which basically means the meaning isn't found in the individual words themselves.
Right. So like, he blew his top. I mean,
Yeah.
how would you even try to explain that to someone who's never heard that expression before?
Yeah, exactly. Imagine trying to translate that word for word into another language. It would be completely nonsensical.
It'd be like,
Payton calls this conceptual blending because idioms create these mini stories in our minds, drawing on our shared cultural knowledge and experiences.
okay, that makes sense. So it's like a cultural shortcut, but one that only works if you already know the code.
Exactly.
And Peyton gives some pretty colorful examples, like a moth ate a hole in my shirt. I mean, logically, a moth can't eat something that's not there, right?
Right. It highlights how idioms often defy logic.
They do.
What's interesting too is that they can evolve over time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I'll give you a ring, for instance.
Okay.
Originally it referred to calling someone on a telephone, but now it could even be interpreted as like a marriage proposal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So idioms aren't just these static expressions, they actually change with us. What I find really fascinating is how wildly different idioms can be across languages.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Peyton shares some examples from Orma and Swahili that just blew my mind.
It is amazing to see how different cultures express themselves, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So in Orma, if you say, "I have your ear," it doesn't actually mean you're listening intently. It actually means, like, I've heard of you.
That's a good one.
And then there's the Swahili phrase, he got a stove, which actually means he got married.
Now, that one might sound completely bizarre at first glance, but if you think about the cultural context, it actually makes sense.
Okay. How so?
Well, the stove likely represents the woman who's traditionally responsible for cooking.
Oh, I see.
And that reflects the social structure and the division of labor within that culture.
Okay, so idioms really are like little cultural puzzles.
Yeah, that.
But Peyton also points out that not all idiomatic language is actually a true idiom. What does he mean by that?
So he uses the example of wash up, which can mean either washing dishes or washing your hands.
Right.
It's a phrase with idiomatic qualities, but it's not a true idiom in the sense that it has a figurative meaning that's completely separate from its literal components.
Okay. And then to make things even more complicated, even within the same language, you can have cultural nuances that change the meaning.
Yeah, that's true.
Like Americans might use wash up to mean washing your hands, while in British English, it's almost always about the dishes.
Yeah, you're right. It's a great illustration of how even seemingly simple phrases can be interpreted in very different ways depending on the context.
Exactly. And that's just within one language. Imagine the potential for misunderstanding when you're dealing with different languages and cultures.
Oh, absolutely.
It really makes you realize how much we take for granted in our own language. But if idioms are so tricky, how do translators even begin to tackle them?
That's a great question, and that's exactly what we'll be diving into next.
Peyton outlines four main approaches to translating idioms, each with its own set of challenges and considerations.
All right, well, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and unpack those four approaches in detail.
Okay.
Welcome back. So before we jump into those different approaches Payton lays out, I'd love to hear more about some of the specific challenges translators face when dealing with these tricky idioms. Well, one of the biggest hurdles is really understanding the meaning of the idiom in its original context.
Oh.
You know, it's not enough to just translate the words literally. You really have to grasp the underlying message, the cultural nuances behind it.
So it's almost like being a detective trying to uncover these hidden meanings behind these sayings.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to put it.
Are there any examples of how this can go wrong?
Oh, there are tons. Peyton mentioned some great examples of literal translations that ended up being hilarious or even offensive.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he talks about how his Orma team translated the phrase, "those who do not know their right hand from their left," literally.
Oh, what happened?
Well, the Orma interpretation implied that there were like 120,000 mentally challenged people in Nineveh,
Oh, wow.
which is highly unlikely and not at all what the original text was trying to convey.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of why cultural sensitivity is so important in translation. But sometimes even seemingly simple phrases can be tricky. What about idioms that use body parts? Peyton seems to caution against translating those literally.
He does, and for good reason. The symbolic meanings associated with different body parts can vary widely across cultures.
That's interesting.
Like, for example, in English, we often use the heart to symbolize emotions.
Right.
But in other languages, that role might be filled by the stomach or even the liver.
So translating "he has a heavy heart" literally into another language might end up with someone thinking he has, like, indigestion or something.
Exactly. That's why understanding the cultural context of an idiom is so important.
It really is. Okay, so we've talked about some of the challenges, but let's get back to those four approaches Peyton mentions for actually translating idioms. What are they, and how do translators decide which one to use?
So the first approach is to try and find a corresponding idiom in the target language.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you get lucky and there's a perfect match, an idiom that conveys the same meaning and has a similar cultural resonance.
So it's like finding a linguistic twin.
Exactly. Like Peyton gives the example of Mary kept all these things in her heart.
Yeah.
In the Sabbath language, there's an idiom that literally translates to Mary kept all these things in her throat.
Wow.
Which conveys that same sense of deep reflection.
That's amazing. But what if there isn't a corresponding idiom in the target language? What then?
Well, in those cases, translators might consider a literal translation, but only if it makes sense and doesn't lead to any misunderstandings.
So you have to be very careful with those.
Absolutely. Peyton really stresses that literal translations should be used with caution, especially when dealing with idioms that use body parts or rely on very culturally specific imagery.
Right, because then you run into those problems we talked about earlier.
Exactly. Sometimes the best approach is to just state the meaning directly without using any figurative language at all.
Okay.
It might not be as elegant or nuanced, but it ensures that the message is conveyed accurately.
So it's like choosing clarity over cleverness in a way.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Are there any other strategies translators use?
There is. Another option is to find a different idiom in the target language that conveys a similar meaning, even if it uses different imagery or wording.
So it's like finding a cousin for the original idiom, something that shares some family resemblance, but isn't an exact replica.
Exactly. And that's where the art of translation really comes into play. It's about finding that most effective way to bridge the gap between languages and cultures while still preserving the richness and meaning of the original text.
It sounds like translators need to be incredibly skilled and resourceful. What are some of the qualities that make a good translator, especially when it comes to handling these tricky idioms?
Well, I think one of the most important qualities is cultural sensitivity.
Okay.
A good translator really needs to be aware of the cultural nuances and sensitivities of both the source and target languages.
So it's not just about knowing the words, but also understanding the people and the culture behind those words.
Exactly. They also need to be creative problem solvers, able to think outside the box and come up with solutions that might not be immediately obvious.
It sounds like translating idioms is as much an art as it is a science.
It really is. It requires both linguistic expertise and a deep understanding of human culture and communication.
Well, this has been fascinating. I'm starting to see idioms in a whole new light.
Me too.
They're not just these quirky sayings. They really are windows into a culture's worldview and experiences.
I couldn't agree more. And as we've seen sometimes, that worldview can be quite different from our own.
Welcome back. And get ready for the final stretch of our deep dive into the wonderful world of idioms and the challenges they pose for translators.
We have covered a lot, haven't we? From those unique characteristics of idioms and their cultural significance to all the different strategies for translating them effectively.
Yeah. It's amazing how these seemingly simple phrases can really open up a whole new understanding of how language and culture are just intertwined.
Oh, for sure.
So what stands out to you as like the most surprising thing we've learned today?
I think for me, it's the realization that idioms aren't just these quirky little sayings. They're windows into a culture's worldview and experiences.
Right.
Translating them accurately isn't just about, you know, finding equivalent words. It's about conveying that underlying meaning and those cultural nuances that give them their true significance.
It's like each idiom carries a little piece of a culture's DNA.
Exactly. And as we've seen sometimes, that DNA can be quite different from our own.
It does make you realize how much we take for granted in our own language and how challenging it can be to bridge that gap between languages and cultures.
Absolutely.
So what does this all mean for us as listeners? Why should we care about the intricacies of translating idioms?
Well, that's a great question. I think there are a few key takeaways here.
Okay.
First, it makes us more aware, and I think critical consumers of information,
mm-hmm.
especially in today's globalized world, we're constantly encountering information that's been translated from other languages.
Right.
And understanding the potential pitfalls of translation, especially when it comes to these idioms, can really help us interpret that information more accurately mm-hmm. and avoid misunderstandings.
So it's almost like having a superpower, being able to decode those hidden messages and those cultural nuances embedded in the language.
Exactly. It also, I think, fosters a deeper appreciation for the diversity of human language and culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, idioms offer this unique window into how different societies perceive the world and express themselves. And learning about them really expands our horizons and challenges us to think outside of our own linguistic boxes.
It's like each language has its own unique way of painting a picture of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And translating those pictures requires a special kind of artistry.
Absolutely. And that artistry involves not just, you know, linguistic skills, but also cultural sense
oh.
and creativity and a deep understanding of human psychology.
Yeah.
Translators are like cultural ambassadors, bridging the gap between different ways of seeing and understanding the world.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one key takeaway you'd like our listeners to remember?
I'd say the next time you encounter an idiom, whether it's in your own language or another, take a moment to appreciate the cultural history and the layers of meaning that are packed into those few words.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that language is much more than just a means of communication.
Right.
It's a reflection of who we are and how we see the world.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of idioms. We hope you've enjoyed it.
It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, keep those linguistic wheels turning.